In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Saint Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This year is special in the Church. We are marking the 150th anniversary of Blessed Pius IX declaring Saint Joseph the universal patron and protector of the Church. It's a year of great grace. It's a year in which we're called to focus more on Saint Joseph in our life, in the life of the Church. Throughout the centuries, St. Joseph has kind of been like the player to be named later in the package deal with Jesus and Mary. He's always kind of thrown in, quiet, humble, afterthought in most circumstances. And that was the way it was for the most part for the first 1400 years of Christianity. But St. Joseph is a particularly important Lenten saint as well. His feast, March 19th, always falls in the middle of Lent. It can't but fall in Lent. But many, especially those who fast hard during the Lenten season, we kind of look at St. Joseph as an exception to Lent because his feast day is a solemnity. And just on his feast day and on the Feast of the Annunciation, which is likewise a solemnity, you're here in the Archdiocese of New York, in which St. Patrick is likewise a solemnity because he's the patron. Those are Sundays. Those are Easter in the middle of a Lenten season. So you can break your fast, you can eat the chocolate, you can drink the wine, that's possible on these days. And so St. Joseph, rather than being looked at as a great Lenten saint, has almost been an exception to Lent. Same thing, as we know, happens unfortunately with St. Patrick, was an ascetical saint who went up and prayed for 40 days at Kropatra, and he wasn't drinking green beer. And yet that is the way many people mark his feast. St. Joseph, not only should he have an impact on everything the Church does this year, but he should have a real impact on our Lent. Let's ponder some of his virtues in this sort of truncated conference we'll have that can help us learn how to live Lent better. First is St. Joseph's silence. St. Joseph doesn't say a word in all of sacred scripture, but his actions speak volumes. Silence is so much needed during the Lenten season. When we look at silence, a lot of the times we can look at it as if we're Buddhists, an emptying of ourselves. That evisceration is not the Christian sense of silence. The Christian sense of silence, it's the fullness. God speaks in silence. And it's very important for us to be filled with God, communicating himself to us without words. For those who came to the Advent Day of Recollection, I talked a little bit about silence using Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Let's do it with St. Joseph, a man whose actions speak when his mouth isn't. One of the reasons why the saints have pondered, why was St. Joseph so silent? Because he was blown away. It was so difficult for him to get himself around these mysteries that Mary had conceived a child by the Holy Spirit, and that that child was entrusted to Joseph to raise according to humanity. Joseph was in awe. It's one of the reasons why I think God needed to speak to him in a dream, because if an angel came to him like he did to Mary while she was alert, he wouldn't have been able to handle it the same way. Wouldn't have been able to respond at all. And so our defenses are down when we're dreaming. We don't put up the same resistance. And so God spoke to Joseph in a dream, saying, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It's by the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. And Joseph immediately acted on the dream. Likewise, through a dream again, an angel came and said, rise now, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt because Herod's trying to assassinate him. And Joseph awoke and sprung into action. Similarly, after Herod's death, a third time, the angel spoke in a dream, and he returned. But the angel had warned him not to go to Bethlehem, but to go to Nazareth, because one of Herod's sons, Herod Antipas, was there in Bethlehem and would be very nasty. Joseph was a man of silence. Pope Benedict, in his document of the Word of God and the Life and Mission of the Church, said the Word, in fact, can only be spoken and heard in silence, outward and inward. And ours is not an age that fosters recollection. At times one has the impression that people are afraid of detaching themselves, even for a moment, from the mass media. For this reason, it's necessary nowadays that the people of God be educated in the virtue of silence. St. Joseph is a great teacher in the school. The whole focus on the desert in Lent is not so much a physical place, but it's a spiritual state. It's a state in which we get the noise out of our life, because the devil speaks in noise, and God's first language is silence. So that's the first virtue we learn from St. Joseph about how to live a holy Lent. Lent is meant to be a time of silence. Back in 2005, Pope Benedict said that we should all allow ourselves to be infected by Joseph's silence in a world that's too noisy, that discourages recollection and listening to God's voice. Second Lenten virtue we learn from St. Joseph is obedience. We see his prompt obedience over and again with regard to the angel's interventions in the dream. It would have been easy for Joseph, even in a pre-Freudian age, to deconstruct these dreams according to the standard of his conscious desires. Each dream was asking him to do something totally life-changing, to alter completely his notion of what his marriage would entail, to leave his job and relatives completely behind and journey through the desert to an unknown land, to return once life was settled. But in each of these circumstances, Joseph acted immediately. He was so prone to hear God's word and act on it that at the merest indication, he didn't debate or negotiate. He just did. St. Joseph never saw obeying God as incompatible with his own good, but rather as the foundation of his own good. God's omnipotence was not a threat to his manliness, to his humanity, because St. Joseph didn't equate manliness with being in control, but rather in being responsible and responsive to God and others. His obedience made him capable of sharing mysteriously in the fatherhood of God the Father. For all the men out here, those of you who are dads and aspiring to be dads, Joseph's obedience made him capable of sharing in the mystery of the fatherhood of God the Father. Lent is a time in which we need to work on obeying God. St. Paul in his letter to Philippians says, have yourselves the same mind that was in Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, who though he was God, didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but emptied himself, poured out his own blood on Calvary, emptied himself, obediently becoming obedient even to death on a cross. That's the Lenten journey. It's one in which we enter into Jesus's active listening of the Lord. That's where the root of obedience comes from. Because in Hebrew, there's no distinction between the word to hear and to obey. When we know God speaking, we obey because we know it's for our good. Third virtue of St. Joseph is fidelity, is faithfulness. He was obedient precisely because he believed. When the angel said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, he believed in what the angel said and acted. To trust God does not mean to see everything clearly. Doesn't mean to do and carry out what we have previously planned. To trust God means to empty ourselves of ourselves. It means to deny ourselves. Because only one who accepts losing himself for God can be just and faithful as Joseph. That is, can conform his own will to God's and thus be fulfilled. Like Abraham, St. Joseph is a father in faith to us, responding to one of the greatest mysteries. His example invites us to imitate his total abandonment to divine providence, to lovingly trust God and take God at his word without seeing clearly God's design. Pope Benedict, when he was in Cameroon in 2009 for the Feast of St. Joseph, said, throughout all of history, St. Joseph is the man who gives God the greatest display of trust, even in the face of such astonishing news. What's faith? What's trust? There are two parts to it. The first is that we totally commit ourselves to someone as trustworthy. And we do that in faith to God. And second, on the basis of that trust, we believe in what the person says or tells us to do. We believe that this is truly God on the altar because God himself, Jesus, told us it was he. We believe in the power of the sacrament of confession because Jesus himself founded it on Easter Sunday evening and sent out the apostles to forgive and retain sins in his name. We believe in the resurrection, as St. Martha teaches us, because we believe that Jesus is the one coming into the world. And because of that trust in him, there's the trust that her brother Lazarus would rise. Lent is a season, a school in which we're called to grow in faith. And St. Joseph, as Pope Benedict said, even though Giuseppe was Joseph Ratzinger's baptismal name, Joseph, and he had a devotion from his childhood, he's still right when he said, he, in all of church history, shows the greatest display of trust at all, believing God speaking through a dream. And he's interceding for us. Fourth Lenten virtue we get from St. Joseph is the virtue of chastity. Now, most people think that chastity is just about sexual stuff. It's principally about sexual stuff. But chastity is ultimately related to charity. It's what makes love white hot. It's what really makes us passionate for almsgiving. When we are able to look at others purely. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Chastity makes that purity possible. And when we're seeing God in others, we will love them much more easily. Just like we love the Lord. St. Joseph is a model of chaste love. Soon we'll do the litany, the divine praises, in which we'll praise him for being Mary's most chaste spouse. Chaste through and through. Nobody could love a woman the way Joseph loved Mary. He loved her, who was so lovable. And yet, he never took her for his own pleasure. He shows us what real love is capable of. And each of us and the whole church and the world desperately needs chastity. Remember that the point of Lent is holiness. And when St. Paul says, this is God's will for you, your holiness, he says immediately thereafter, therefore avoid all unchastity. Unchastity is what will short-circuit the call to holiness worse than any other sinfulness. Why? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And the devil wants to corrupt love. And he corrupts love through unchastity. That's why St. Joseph is such a help in Lent. He lived with Mary with a pure white love, helping her fulfill her vocation. And he wants to help us too with a really pure love. Fifth virtue, is justice. St. Matthew very laconically says, Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a holy man in right relationship with God. He certainly wasn't flashy on the outside, but he shone interiorly. As Pope Benedict once said in a rare play on words, St. Joseph adjusted his whole life to God's word. That's what it means to be just, to adjust to God everything. And he teaches us likewise how to be in right relationship with God. Sixth Lent, and obviously Lent is a time in which we seek to harmonize our entire existence with what God is asking. Sixth virtue is humility. St. Joseph is among the most humble of saints. He was chosen because of humility, and he grew in humility. What were the ways? He led the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus in prayer in a Jewish home, just like all Jewish men did. Every day, in the morning, in the evening, and at meals, and at all the principal religious feasts, it wasn't the Immaculately Conceived Virgin who was leading prayer. It wasn't even the infant Jesus who was leading prayer. It was St. Joseph. Origen, that great 3rd century theologian, said, Joseph understood that Jesus was superior to him, even as he submitted to him. And knowing the superiority of his charge, he commanded him with respect and moderation. Everyone has to reflect on this. Frequently, a lesser person is placed over those who are greater. And it happens at times that an inferior is more worthy than the one who appears to be set above. If a person of greater dignity understands this, then he will not be puffed up with pride because of his higher rank. He'll know that his inferior way may well be superior to him, even as Jesus was subject to Joseph. What an incredible mystery that Jesus was obedient to Joseph, his own creature. In Lent, we're called similarly to grow in humility. As a priest, I recognize that God obeys me when I stand at the altar. He comes down from heaven to earth. That he helps, but uses my judgment in the confessional. As he sends people's souls back to their baptismal beauty. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, used to always ask for miracles at the altar. He'd pause after the consecration and ask right then, because he recognized that even if he was asking for an entire cemetery to be raised from the dead, it was less than actually asking God the Father to send his Son under the appearance of bread and wine. And that's what God the Father does, and everything else is small change compared to that. How can that not make you humble when you recognize just how unworthy you are of it? St. Joseph had that experience. Seventh, he was a protector. He protected Jesus and the Blessed Virgin from the Virgin's being stoned to death, potentially, from Jesus's being at risk of assassination by Herod. One of the reasons why he was chosen to be the protector of the church is because the church is Jesus' mystical body. And just as God the Father chose Joseph to protect his son and his son's mother, so he chooses him to protect us. St. Joseph wants to protect us if we let him. He wants to teach us how to protect others. Lent is a time in which we recognize how much harm the devil wishes to do. How he's worse than Herod. St. Joseph wants to help us to defeat the temptations of the devil and then help others learn to defeat them by our similarly protecting them from harm. And eighth and last, he was a provident dad. A true father, though obviously not a biological one, raising Jesus. His whole life was one of almsgiving, of providing through his hard work, of caring for the needs of others, of helping them fulfill their vocations. Joseph was well known for his work. Everybody would say, is Jesus not the son of the carpenter? The carpenter had to be well known. They called him a tecton. The real word is a builder. It's a construction worker. And Jesus learned a human trade from him. And Jesus was sanctifying and saving the world, even in those years in Joseph's carpenter shop, as Jesus was learning from Joseph how to plane wood, how to nail effectively, how to make tees, the whole rest of it. It's an incredible lesson. St. Joseph taught Jesus human work, in which he was an expert. The divine child worked beside him, listened to him, observed him, learned to manage the carpenter's tools with diligence and dedication. If the Son of God was willing to learn a human work from a man, this indicates that there is in work a specific moral value with a precise meaning for us and for our self-fulfillment. But also, St. Joseph likewise wants to teach us how to live the gospel of work, simply, humbly, out of love for those for whom we're working. To be provident, to work for others, to translate everything we do into charity. This is what happens in Lent. We no longer work for ourselves. We begin to work in a much bigger family. And we care for people who are in need as brothers and sisters. We adopt everyone as our own foster children, just like he adopted Jesus, who was his father according to the law. So to live this Lent in 2020 well, this 150th anniversary of St. Joseph being named the patron of the church, let's huddle under his strong arms and calloused hands. Let's entrust prayers to him. Let's ask him to teach us how to love Jesus as he loved Jesus. Let us ask him to help us to reverence and love Our Lady. There's this book out, which is very popular, of mystical revelations of Jesus to a priest who's alive today. The revelations happened between 2007 and 2015 in the book called In Sinu Jesu. There are a lot of incredible insights in there about how to relate to Jesus in the Eucharist. But the one which was the real theological novum, the real thing that knocked me to my knees, was when Jesus, through this priest, said, we need to learn how to love Mary as virgin and spouse. Many of us love Mary as the greatest disciple. Many of us love her as a mother. But Jesus was asking, especially priests, but not just priests, to learn how to love Mary as virgin and spouse, be committed to her, and to really love her as a virginal spouse. And there's nobody who teaches us how to do this better than the man God the Father chose to be the father of his Son in the eyes of the world. Let us turn to St. Joseph and ask him to intercede for us so that he won't just be an oasis in the middle of the desert of Lent when we get to March 19th. But he's a real father and model, teaching us the faith, just like with humility he taught Jesus in the home. Praise be Jesus Christ.